Well, thanks for joining me. Let's pray. All right, let's pray, pray, pray. We'll pray the chaplet of divine mercy. I'm so grateful for this opportunity just to stop. I always enjoy taking a look at life through the eyes of our faith. You know, sometimes it can be troubling, right? You know, I don't have the answers for everything. I wish I did. I do have one answer, and I do know there is one thing that can really affect change and make a big difference, and that is prayer. That's it. I mean, whether we see a buildup on the border of Ukraine with Vladimir Putin, or whether we see China flexing its muscles, or we see adversaries, you know, with nefarious intentions against us, or we see crises in our own government, or problems with drugs coming across our southern border, you feel powerless, you feel hopeless, you feel like, oh, what can I do? There's nothing more powerful than you and I just taking this moment and praying. We can do more in this one prayer than any politician can do, you know, in an entire year. I'm telling you, prayer absolutely changes things for the better, and it will change things for you for the better, because God loves you and he cares about you, and you need to know that. You need to remember that. Not only does he love and care for you, but he cares about the things that concern you as well. You know, those financial problems you have, your health problems. Maybe it's what's going on in the country. If you have concerns, or you have worry, or you have anxiety about something that's going on in life, know that God, he brings good out of every situation. He's got a divine plan, you know, and it's for your good. It's going to be for your good. You just got to walk with him. You just got to trust him. You just got to say, Lord, I don't know where I'm going, but I'm going to follow you. I'm going to trust you. I know you're not going to let me stumble and fall. You know, I think about the scriptures, right? Scriptures, they're just filled with examples of how much God loves us and how much he'll do for us. You know, there's a great scripture in Matthew that it talks about the lilies of the fields and the birds of the air, right? How much God loves and provides them. Every day they're taken care of, right? How much more you, his child, will he take care of? How much more will he be there for you? You know, a father's not going to give his kid a snake or a rock, right? He's going to bless you. He's going to fill you. He's going to provide and protect you. Today, let's pray with that type of faith. Get rid of the anxiety and the fear. Choose today. Say, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this situation or how it'll be resolved, but I know you're not going to fail me. And don't dwell on the problem, okay? Instead, meditate on his promise for you, and really put your trust in the promises that Jesus Christ himself gave to St. Faustina, right, regarding the prayer that we're about to engage in. So I'm so happy to pray with you and for you. And it's something that we all, you know, really have to do. I want to share one quick intention with you here. This came out, I was just going through the emails during the last break, and it says, could you pray for my brother-in-law who committed suicide on Monday? He was in deep anxiety and hopelessness. Please pray for his family, who are now in such pain and disbelief. And I just want to pray for anyone who has lost somebody by suicide. It's for those who are left behind, it seems so senseless. You know, for the person going through the anxiety or the fear or the grief or the depression, it seems like the only way out. And I just really today want to pray that God's grace will hold back the hand of anyone thinking about harming themselves or taking their own life who don't see a way out of their current situation. I do want to pray for those who mourn, those who've lost loved ones in a powerful way. I'm joined by my colleague today, Maggie. She is, of course, one of my great producers on the show team. She's running the board and producing today as well. And Maggie's going to be praying with us. Maggie, anything personal you want to lift up?
You know what? Just to piggyback off the last segment that we had, I'd like to pray for anyone that is immigrating to this country in search of freedom and peace, especially when they're bringing their whole families with them. That's a big risk.
Yeah, I want to pray for those who just have less than us. I mean, we in America are an affluent nation. I mean, you might think you're going through a tough time right now, but boy, if you ever travel the world, you will see that you are richly blessed. I mean, you are deeply, deeply blessed. And Lord, I just want to thank you for your providence and for your mercy and for how much you've given to us, and forgive us for the ways we take it all for granted. Pray for those who have less than us in particular. So if you want to, I'm going to give you a number. You might be new to my show. every day at this time, I stop and I pray a prayer that was given by our Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrected Lord, to St. Faustina in the early 1930s. It's known as the Chapel of the Divine Mercy. The Lord attached great promises to it. And we just invoke the great mercy of our Heavenly Father through the passion, the death, the suffering of His Son Jesus. And we've seen miracles unfold. I mean, incredible answers to prayers. I think it's due to the power of all of us really crying out to God as one. And those promises that the Lord always stands by. So today is also a First Friday. I didn't have time to talk to you about it yet, but this is also a devotion. We'll call upon the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Sacred Heart devotion and the Divine Mercy devotion go hand in hand. And our Lord appeared prior to appearing to St. Faustina to another great saint, St. Margaret Mary Alacoque. This was back in the 50s, 90s, somewhere around there. And Jesus directed her to spread devotion to His Sacred Heart as in reparation for sins and to show how much we absolutely love Him. And He asked us to do this. He says, you should go to Mass, receive communion and confession, on the first Friday of the month. And I forget what the other aspects are. I'll have to look it up. But there's a beautiful First Friday devotion today. But let's just call upon the Sacred Heart and the divine, the merciful heart of our Lord as we pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, we'll take our first call today. If you're on hold, I'll try to get you on. I'll try to get some extra calls in as we do every day. Carol is praying with us in the city of brotherly love. Hi, Carol. Good afternoon.
Hello, Drew. Hey. I really have a very critical petition here for somebody by the name of Debbie. She's a woman at our church, and there are many groups praying for her, but she's in the hospital. She's on the ventilator, and she has COVID, and right now her organs are shutting down.
Okay.
So we're all desperate for a miracle for her.
Well, let's pray for her.
So stomach is... kidneys, whatever, it's just they're failing. And I've been holding on to Psalm 86, which says, "For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in kindness to all who call upon you. Hearken, O Lord, to my prayer and attend to the sound of my pleading. In this time of trouble, I call for you and you will answer." So this really is on God at this point. There's nothing more anybody can really do for her.
I love it. I love that scripture. Thank you for sharing that, Carol. And we're going to unite with you now and everyone who's praying for your friend. And Lord, we just, I'm going to ask for a miracle, Lord. I don't know what your will is. I always want to submit to whatever your holy will is. I know a good friend of mine, Father Seraphim Michalenko, who was the vice postulator for the canonization of St. Faustina. He was my mentor, taught me divine mercy. The COVID affected the Marians of the Immaculate Conception, and it was the vehicle, the avenue that ultimately brought him into paradise with God. Father Ubald, the great healing priest, who was also a friend. Same thing. So sometimes cancer, sometimes COVID, sometimes certain ailments are the mechanism that God allows us to be purified through and ultimately to enter heaven with. So I don't know what God's will is, but Lord, if it's your will that you call your servant home, then gosh, I just ask that you meet her as a merciful Savior, that you want, and give peace to others. But I also pray for those miracles, because cancer and COVID and disease, it's not greater than you. And you have raised from the dead. You have restored instantly those who are ill. And you can do the same thing for the soul. So I bring this petition to you, asking for your holy will. I ask for that miracle for the greater glory of God as we pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Our next call comes from White Bear Lake, Minnesota. Hi, Nancy. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. I want to, my youngest son, Brian, had led many years of destructive behavior, and he finally came clean and came back to his faith.
Praise
and
God.
Then he passed away a year ago today.
Oh.
So
Nancy, I'm sorry.
Praying for his soul.
Well, Nancy, I know your prayers as a mother have reached the heart of God. And what good news rejoice in, that he came back to the faith. God calls us all. We were all given a moment, a time, a day, an hour. And it's been 1 year. I'm sorry for your loss. I know it's probably just as deep. And it just goes against the natural order to lose a child. It really does. So my heart goes out to you, but I want you to be assured of this, okay? And we're going to pray right now for him. God's outside of time. He hears these prayers as though your son was taking his last breath. The Lord promised St. Faustina in diary entry 1075, he said, "At the last hour, a soul has nothing which to defend itself except my mercy." Okay? Except my mercy. And we know the power of this prayer. The Lord said it's a prayer for the sick and dying. It's a prayer for those who have gone before us. So let's pray for the repose of your son's soul, that one day you will be united with him. Lord, I pray for all those who've gone before us, all those souls in purgatory, all those who we wonder about their lifestyle. And I just pray for this mother here and all parents who've lost children and all those who today mourn. Hear these prayers, comfort us in your mercy, and be the reprieve for those souls. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we will go to Twitter too and grab a couple of those responses coming up. But first, let me bring in on this third decade Crystal. She's praying in Decatur, Illinois. Hi, Crystal. Good afternoon. Hey, Crystal, you with me? All right, Crystal, I'll put you back in queue, and we will go next to Kim in Wilmington, Delaware. Hi, Kim. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Drew. Thanks for taking my call. I was happy to get through. I have several intentions today. The main one on my heart is for my daughter, Hannah, who suffers from mental illness, and just for her to turn to God and get healing and have a hope in a future. So mainly for her, and also for forgiveness and healing for a family conflict. That's a hard one to be working through.
Yeah.
And also for my husband, Joe, for his mental health and well-being, and for God to give him guidance.
All right. Kim, thank you for calling. I'm going to pray for your personal needs and all those really important intentions, especially for your daughter. Lord, I pray for anyone struggling with mental illness. I pray in particular for family conflicts where there is division, where there's argumentation, where there's woundedness and mistrust, where there's been some real deep hurt. I just ask you that your mercy be the remedy, the balm, the ointment that brings about healing in those situations. I know you can remedy all these situations. So pray for Kim's husband as well. Kim, or Maggie is with me now too, and I know she monitors your intentions. You can always write to me, Drew at relevantradio.com, or post them at Drew Mariani Show. You'll find that's our show account. Maggie kind of handles that for the program. Maggie, what's coming in?
Annalisa wrote to us, and she's hoping that her biopsy results come back clear. So let's lift her up. Deb wrote to us and said, please pray for a little girl named Meriwether. Such a sweet name. Yes. She's got a rare heart condition, and now she's got COVID. So she wants to pray for the little girl, Meriwether, her parents, and all the cardiologists that are working with them. And then Marcia wrote to us and said, Drew, God bless you. Please pray for my husband, Chuck, who has many health issues. He's such a loving husband, and I just want to pray for him.
Well, how beautiful. Well, let's lift up all those intentions. And Lord, I bring all that Maggie voiced, and I give all those who are now united to me in prayer, wherever they may be, whether it's in Europe or South Africa or in Asia or here across our continental United States. I just give to you right now those souls, your children, and we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call comes from Palmdale, California. Maria, good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon, Drew.
Hi. How can we pray for you?
I was asking for praise for my brother. He just got intubated. Mm-hmm. He's very sick. The doctor said that his heart is very weak.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Well, Maria, let's pray for him, okay? Let's ask our Lord, the divine physician, to touch that heart, okay? We'll put his heart in the sacred heart. We're going to put it in the merciful heart. And we're going to ask for a real change right now in his condition. And I just want you to trust in the Lord, okay? Just know that God is going to work things out. And we'll just pray for that healing that we seek right now. And Lord, I give you those who are really in difficult situations, who have loved ones in critical care, or going to lose their home or their cars, or struggling financially, who face jail, who face difficulties in relationships. You know, Lord, I just give you those who are sick especially. I just ask for healing and grace and mercy and miracles in this hour. So I give to you, Maria, now as we pray. Eternal Father, We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call comes from Bertha, listening in Chicago. Hi, Bertha.
Hi. This prayers and thanksgiving this young boy, 16-year-old Michael, was missing since Friday, and he's home now.
Well, praise God. Hey, praise God. That's great.
Yeah, we know the family. And I also wanted to pray for my nephew's best friend. He was in a car accident in New Mexico. And his girlfriend passed away, and she died in the accident. So I want to pray for her eternal rest. And I'd like to pray for everyone at Revelant Radio, and thank you for your work.
Well, thank you very much for your call. I'm deeply grateful for it. And I guess we could take a few more calls here, too. So let me add to your intentions, Bertha, Mike, who's listening to us in St. Joseph, Minnesota. We'll all pray together for these final intentions. Mike, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Just want to say a prayer, answer prayer. I called him yesterday, didn't get on. So it was for I had a job interview today, a second interview for a new job.
Wow.
And I was offered the job, took the job.
Wow.
So I'm just giving thanks to the Lord for that, because it was at a really toxic job. So no, I'm just praying. Also, just the release of the anxiety to not worry about the old job.
Yeah, amen to that, Mike. Well, congratulations to you. I love it. Thank you for calling back and letting us know the good news. Bertha, thank you for calling in for Michael, who was found. Again, we get so many answered prayers, don't we? I mean, people pray for jobs. And I had an email just the other day from a woman who said, my gosh, I have my dream job now. I can't believe it. She called the chaplain. Mike called the chaplain. Bertha, calling to give thanks for those who are missing. Remember praying for those who are abducted and missing. So, Lord, we give you thanks for the way you answer our prayers. Forgive us for the way we fail to thank you and acknowledge that. We know you've got a plan for us and a time to answer our prayers. So, we thank you. Let me sneak one more call in here. This comes out of Decatur, Illinois. Crystal, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Thank you very much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Hello?
Yeah, no, you're welcome. Go right ahead.
Yes, my intention is to pray for three individuals that were brutally beaten in a group home.
Oh, no.
They're all hospitalized right now, and the prognosis doesn't look good.
Oh,
but I keep praying, and I know that the divine physician will heal them.
Amen. Well, let's pray with that, okay? Let's pray with that confidence. Thank you, Crystal, for getting through. Lord, so many people on hold right now. And I give you Joe and John and Linda and Shirley and Carol and Yolanda and everyone else and everyone who's united to me now, everyone who's written. I just ask you to be merciful to them today. They're all calling. They're all praying. They're all trusting. They're all turning to you for your mercy in this difficult time. I pray for miracles as I do every day. And I thank you for the many answered prayers we get. And I thank you in advance for the way you're answering these prayers. So I give you my heart filled with its own intentions and those who I promise to pray for. And pray for my spiritual family here as we turn to you once again. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments, we may not despair, nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escrivá,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko,
pray for us.
All you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father and of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Look, let's keep praying for each other, too. Just a final thought here. We pray every day at this time, and you're welcome to join me, and I'm delighted to pray with you. There's a power in our united prayer. But, you know, when you hear these intentions, continue to pray for them. Let's continue to pray for each other. I'm praying for you all the time. All right, when I come back, I'll share with you the story of a man that encountered Our Lady and brought about an incredible conversion. Stay with me.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, hey, thanks for joining me. Well, I hope you can hang out for another hour and a half. I just saw a news story the other day, and these stories, they kind of haunt me a little bit. You know, I had a friend that did some prison time. He was young. He was only in his early 20s, and he ended up doing drugs and became addicted. And then he took drugs across state lines and ended up getting arrested. And because of the amount, he ended up having to do some time in prison. And I would visit him and pray for him. And today, that man is out of prison, and God's mercy has prevailed, and I just thank God for him. But, you know, I would visit him in prison, and I would think, you know, how many people here are here because of addiction? How many people are here because they've been falsely accused? You hear these stories all the time. There's a great group out there called the Innocence Project. You know, one of the corporal works of mercy is to visit the imprisoned, right? We should be visiting those. If you're not going to visit them, at least pray for them, right? So I thought I'd put this story on your radar. There was a man who spent 45 years in prison. 45 years after he was supposedly convicted of killing his wife in 1974. He went to jail for something he did not do. On Wednesday, after the 83-year-old was acquitted, you know, he was set free. And I just can't imagine spending 45 years in jail for something you did not do. The Cleveland police report showed that detectives had arrested another man based on the evidence at the scene before releasing him. Then they focused on this other guy, Andrews. Isaiah Andrews is the man. And then, of course, you know, they kind of had a myopic view and tunnel vision, and this guy ended up going to jail. 45 years deprived of his relationships, deprived of his family, you know, locked away. It's a tough situation. And I don't know what I would do, to be honest with you. I mean, my faith, I hope, would help me get through this. I think about Cardinal Pell. He was falsely imprisoned, too. He wrote an incredible memoir and you should read it. I think there's two or three books now that he's written based on his time in prison. And God can use us, you know, even when we're falsely accused, you know, whether you're in prison or whether you're at work or, you know, whether you're going through some sort of hardship, God can bring good out of that situation. He really can. There was a remarkable story that I came across a few years ago about a man who had a profound conversion in prison. In fact, this drug addict, and I wrote about this drug addict in my book because I prayed for him and he received a liberation from his addiction in a prison. But he had told me, look, it will take, if I was sent to jail for a year, would never have been enough. Two would never have been enough. He was there, I think 5 or 6 years, but by year three, God's grace prevailed and he had a profound conversion. I pray for prisoners quite often. If you're incarcerated, know that I care about you and I'm praying for you. I have several prisoners have written to me and I try to write back. Can't always do it, but I do. I try to get back to everybody who writes. There was a man named Claude Newman, and I've shared the story before, but I want to share it today. And again, I'll put a little caveat out there. Somebody emailed me one year and says, there's this researcher who poured cold water over some of the more sensational aspects of this story. And, you know, maybe it was a little bit exaggerated. I don't know if it is or not. You know, I don't know whether that's the case. But I thought I'd share the story of Claude Newman, because whether it is, you know, cold and accurate to 100 degree, or maybe some of the details are slightly off, I don't know. I've always heard it this way. It's always been reported this way. But we tried to track down that researcher, never been able to get him on the air. My producer's never been able to talk to this guy. So that was just one person who emailed me. Anyway, that caveat out there, let me share with you the story of a man named Claude Newman, right? He was born in 1923 in Arkansas, African-American family. And when he was 5 years old, his father took him and his brother to live with his grandmother, Ellen Newman, right? So she kind of raised him. When Claude was 16, Ellen married a man named Sid Cook. And Sid was not a good man. He began to sexually abuse, Claude's grandmother. And it angered Claude. Claude's now 16 years old, right? He went to work on a plantation in 1942 or something along those lines. By now, he'd grown up a little bit later. But by the end of that time, Ellen and Sid had separated. He continued to mistreat her. But still, Claude had harbored this grudge against him for what he did year after year after year to his grandmother. So, egged on by a friend, one night in 1942, Claude lay in hiding for this guy Sid to come home. And when he came home, he shot the man to death. He put a bullet in him. So then he fled to his mother's home in Arkansas, but of course the police soon caught up with him. He was arrested in January of 43 and sent to Mississippi, where a confession was coerced out of him. You can only imagine what it was like for a black man in 1943. Ultimately tried and convicted of capital murder, sentenced to die in the electric chair. So they were going to put him to death. But an appeal of his sentence, was put forward. It was rejected. And then they rescheduled his execution for January of the following year, 1944. Well, while in his jail, right, when he was in the cell, I can't imagine what that prison was like in the 1940s, right? He shared a cell block with four other prisoners. One of them happened to wear a miraculous medal around his neck. So Claude asked the guy, he says, what is that, you know? And the guy said, hey, it's the miraculous medal. He started to explain it, but Claude wanted nothing really to do with it. He grabbed the guy by the throat, ripped the medal off, and threw it on the ground, right? But Claude was intrigued. He picked it up. He had no clue, again, what it was. And he decided, you know what? I'm going to put it around my own neck. That very night as he lay there sleeping in a cell, something happened to him. He was awakened. Somebody was touching his wrist. And he looked up, and what he saw, he said, was the most beautiful woman that God had ever created, the most beautiful woman he had ever seen. He felt this female touch on his wrist, soft and gentle. And there before him was the Mother of God. Of course, he was scared. Mary calmed him down, and she said to him, she says, if you would like me to be your mother, Claude, and you would like to be my child, send for a priest at the Catholic Church. Well, the next morning, of course, he did that, right? A priest by the name of Father Robert O'Leary came in, and he was the pastor of a local parish, and he was summoned by Claude, and Claude told him what happened, and he and his four cellmates, all of them, wanted to be instructed in the Catholic faith. So Father O'Leary started to give them instructions in the faith, but he had one big obstacle to overcome, right? Claude could not read. He could not write, right? He was never educated. The other prisoners began to help him with that, and the sisters who ran the parish, they came. They started giving instruction to some of the female prisoners. Well, at the time, as the time went on, Father O'Leary was giving instruction. He came to the part about confession, and he was just about to start when Claude blurted out, oh, I know what that is. And the priest looked at him and said, you know what is? I know what that is. Our Lady told me that when we go to confession, we're kneeling down, not before a priest, but we're kneeling down by the cross of her son. And that when we're truly sorry for our sins, when we confess our sins, the blood he shed flows down over us. It washes us free of all of our sins. Well, Father O'Leary was shocked, to say the least, right? And Claude at first thought that the priest was angry, but he pulled the priest to one side and he told the priest, he says, I've been receiving more visions of the Blessed Mother. He told the priest, he said, she told me that if you doubted me or if you showed hesitancy, I was to remind you that lying in a ditch in Holland in 1940, you made a vow to her, which she was still waiting for you to keep. Well, that vow turns out, the priest, as he was lying in that ditch, was to build a church in honor of her Immaculate Conception. Well, needless to say, the priest was stunned. And by the way, that church is now built. Claude ultimately became baptized, received communion, and Mary taught him about communion as well. When it came time for his execution, it was about 15 minutes beforehand, the sheriff came in saying, reprieve, reprieve, a 2-week stay has been granted for Claude. And you know what happened to Claude? Instead of rejoicing that his execution has been put off, he started to cry. And it wasn't from relief, it was from sadness. The priest says, Claude, why are you crying? Claude says, I want to go to be with Mary. He said, if you ever saw her face, if you looked into her eyes, I'm telling you, you wouldn't want to live another day. The priest counseled him. He said to him, look, you know, you have 2 weeks, offer your suffering for someone else. So there was a fellow prisoner. He was one of the worst men in this prison. He was foul mouthed, right? And Claude was actually executed on February 4th, 1944. On this very day, Claude went to, was called into paradise. You know, God took him home, or the executioner sent him on his way to paradise, I should say. And he was happy to have it happen. When he went to his execution, he was joyful. Well, 3 months later, that guy, the foul-mouthed prisoner, his name was James Hughes, right? Well, Claude had prayed for him. He was now set to be executed. He was the next one on the executioner's block, so to speak. And he had nothing to do with God. He wanted nothing to do. And even he just spat in the face of a doctor who asked him to pray the Our Father. And as Hughes sat in the chair, he just continued to blaspheme. But then he suddenly stopped. He looked over at the wall and he shouts, he lets out this horrible, blood-curdling scream, and he called for a priest. Father O'Leary was there and the room was cleared. And this man got on his knees and says, Father, I want to confess my sins. Well, the sheriff wanted to know what happened, but of course, Father O'Leary didn't ask him. So the sheriff did, and this is what Hughes said. He says, remember that black man, Claude, the one I hated so much? Well, he's standing there over in that corner, and behind him, with one hand on each shoulder, was a beautiful woman. It was this woman he spoke of, the Blessed Virgin Mary. And Claude said to me, he says, I offered my death in union with Christ on the cross for your salvation. She has obtained this gift for you. Seeing you in this, he says, she has obtained this gift for you. seeing your place in hell if you do not repent. He said, I had been shown my place in hell. That's why I screamed. That man converted and ultimately went to death. But that's the story and the power of God's grace. Even in prison, even in a situation that seems impossible, where no good can come, Claude Newman, who had a profound conversion, offered his own suffering and death for the conversion of another man. So I know one thing, and that is that God can bring good out of any situation, and I want you to know that too.
Need some hope as a reminder that everything will be okay? Stay with us, The Drew Mariani Show, on Relevant Radio.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Your daily dose of faith, hope, and charity. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, you know, I love that story of conversion. I really do. Claude Newman, he was executed on this day. And you know, I do believe we should call upon the intercession of the saints. Conversion, 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 right? I don't care how dark your sin is, how bad you've been, how evil you are. The greater the sinner, the greater the right you have to God's mercy. And we have to look at God like that. God loves all of us intimately, deeply, more than we can ever imagine. And St. Faustina, you might have a son, you might have a daughter, you might have a spouse, a sibling, somebody you love away from the faith. I'll share very just briefly what St. Faustina revealed, or what the Lord revealed to St. Faustina about this. It's surprising how often St. Faustina, who I consider the patroness of divine mercy, how she wrote about conversion. I mean, page after page in her diary, you know, Jesus calls for the conversion of sinners. But that shouldn't surprise us, right? That's why he hung on a cross, right? He told St. Faustina, he says, I am love and I am mercy itself. When a soul approaches me with trust, I fill it with such an abundance of grace, I cannot contain it, but it radiates to others. And I long for souls, he told her. I long for the conversion of sinners, no matter how great their sin is. He says, God's mercy is always, always greater. Now, maybe you've done something really horrible that you're ashamed of. You know, maybe it's sexual. Maybe it's an abortion. Maybe it's some sort of crime. I mean, you know. We don't have to go through it. Maybe you think it's so horrible, I couldn't even mention it. You know, God would never forgive me for this. Jesus longs for your soul. He longs for your conversion. No matter how great the sin, his mercy is always greater. You know what I love about divine mercy? He says, let the greatest sinner put their trust in my mercy. And here's the mystery of God's mercy. He says that those sinners, those of us that sin, you know, the greater the sinner, they have a right before others to trust in the abyss of mercy. And he wanted Faustina to write about this. Like I said, her diary is filled with it. He says, write about my mercy towards tormented souls. Those souls who make an appeal to me, they delight me. I give those souls more graces than they ask. I can't punish even the greatest sinner if he makes an appeal to my compassion. On the contrary, he says, I fill him with unfathomable and inscrutable mercy. I mean, what a comfort, what a solace, right? How beautiful. We're so easy. I mean, we do this. We're so quick to condemn somebody. Somebody who does some horrible act, you know, they murder somebody, they rob, you know, they blow themselves up or a building up or drive into a crowded parade. And believe me, I pray to God I never am put to that test. My heart goes out. A former colleague of mine here, Dave Duran, lost his wife in that Waukesha parade. And I think about him a lot because I'm thinking, how do you apply mercy to the man who did that, right? But if God says, you know, the greatest sinner has the right to my mercy. You know, souls that make an appeal to me delight me. I grant him grace. You know, we have to forgive those who've hurt us, right? You have to forgive that person who has wounded you. Maybe God's speaking to you today. Maybe you just can't do it. I just want to say that mercy is an act of the will in some respects, just as love is, right? You may not feel forgiveness. I was deeply wounded by something. I was betrayed. You know, I was in a business arrangement, and I considered the person a partner, lied and misrepresented me to people who were behind a project that I was involved in. And they all took her side, and they all thought, you know, because she was older and I was young, you know, and it was really horrible. It was a tough time. It was demonic in some respect. I saw a tremendous division over the result of it. In the end, truth always comes to light. I was ultimately vindicated in the end, but I had to forgive that person. And it was hard to do at first because I felt betrayed and wounded by somebody who I placed a lot of trust in. You have to do the same thing. Somebody betrayed you in a business deal. Somebody hurt you. Somebody, you know, robbed you or hurt somebody you loved, or maybe physically injured you. Forgive. Maybe they've pilfered your business. Maybe they've embezzled your money. I mean, we all have different challenges, different crosses. Maybe the doctor missed something that's now causing you your loved one. You have to forgive. You have to show mercy if you want mercy shown to you. And I know you may not feel it. I didn't feel it. But the second you do that, say, Lord, I don't feel this, but I know I'm called to do this. Therefore, I forgive. Therefore, I extend mercy. God is going to shower you with untold graces. Untold graces. You know, that's the beauty of our faith. And I'll leave it at that. One final thought here too. You might have a child away from the faith. You might have a loved one, as I said. Well, one final note from the Lord. And I'm haunted by this because we all have somebody in our life, right, that we know that we should be praying for and for their conversion. The Lord revealed to St. Faustine, he says, there's one price at which souls are bought. And that is suffering united to my suffering on a cross. So every conversion of a sinful soul, the Lord says in diary entry 961 to St. Faustina, demands sacrifice. Every conversion of a sinful soul demands sacrifice. And he said to St. Faustina, you know, she was a victim soul too. She suffered. She died ultimately of tuberculosis, but she suffered in all sorts of ways. All the great saints did, right? He said to her, he says, I have need of your suffering to rescue souls. He says, help me, my daughter, to save souls. Join your suffering to my passion and offer to the Heavenly Father for sinners. And it's not just St. Faustina. It's you and me. It's that wayward child of ours. We need to be offering our suffering, our sacrifices, our fast, our penance, our prayers for, right? It's that person who hurt you. It's that person who's most in need of God's mercy at this moment. And if you're going through difficulty now and you are suffering physically, don't squander or waste it. Use it. Unite it to that of the Lord on the cross. So ask Claude Newman to help you. Ask St. Faustina to intercede for you. A lot more we can talk about, but I only have a moment or two left. And I want to put something else on your radar before we change gears, because there's some big news I want to get to in the next hour. I think this is important as we approach Lent. I'm going to give you one more spiritual gem, if you will, a little treasure for you. Our Lady, as she interceded with Claude Newman, right, as she has come in Fatima, as she's come in Champion, Wisconsin, as she's come across the centuries, God has given her a special role. She has suffered incredibly. She stood at the foot of the cross of our Lord, right? This year, Relevant Radio has really decided to help you better know and love our Blessed Mother. And in the days ahead, the months ahead, we're gonna unpack and explore and really come to really appreciate her role in human history. And in our lives every day, there's a great resource for you. If you just go to relevantradio.com/Mary, you can sign up. We're calling it Miracles, Mysteries, and Mary. It's totally free. You can receive an email series. You'll get plugged into exclusive content. It won't be anywhere else. And it'll come to you. I think it's a wonderful, wonderful treasure. And you're going to learn all sorts of things over the months ahead. And there's so many great Marian feast days and Marian dogmas. And you're going to find that as you learn more about Our Lady and the power of the rosary and her intercession, she is going to speed you down the path to holiness. You're going to find yourself falling deeper in love with her divine son. You're going to find yourself walking in a closer relationship with the Lord. And I just want to, I want to thank Relevant for this, because it was Our Lady who helped me in my own faith journey, my own walk. And I know if you're not in a relationship with her, you're missing out on something. I think our Lord wants you. Jesus wants you to love his mother as he loves her, right? And then when you love her, you're going to find you're loving her son like she loves him, all right? Check it out, okay? It's relevantradio.com/Mary. Stay with me. News and headlines are straight ahead. I'm going to be back on the other side. We got some things to look at, some big picture stuff. I'll break it all down with you, all right? I'll be back with more right after this. Stay with me.